Blog Talk Radio.
Testimony in all that I go through. Somebody said, why? I said, because praise is what I do. Sometimes
good morning, everybody. Praise is what I do. The word that God gave me this morning is, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, from Psalms. And all I can say is, praise is what I do. We got to praise the Father in the good. We got to praise the Father in the bad. We got to praise the Father in the ugly, because the Lord God does not take us to the storm unless he will bring us through it. I thank God this morning for his grace. I thank God this morning for his magnificence. God is good and greatly to be praised. We have to worship the Lord God in all that we do. Because praise is what we must do. Give the Lord praise this morning. Hallelujah, Father God. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for the beauty that can only come from you, God. We thank you for the sacrifice of your son for our sinful selves. We thank you, Lord God, for waking us up this morning, clothed in our right mind, because someone woke up with fog and don't remember their own name. Lord God, we pray for minds. We pray for bodies and spirits. We pray for bereaved families today, those that are going through in Haiti and Afghanistan. We pray for the nations of the world, Lord God. For all things we know are working for a purpose and a reason. We know, Lord God, that you are in charge and nothing happens on this planet without your knowledge and consent. Father God, we ask you to give strength to the helpless and the hopeless. We ask you, Lord God, to give a mindset of doing what's right to those who would think what is wrong. Father God, we ask you to bless pastors today. Bring a word, oh God, to give them understanding of the scriptures and to stay within the word of God so that those that hear your word understand it and know it came from you. Father God, I vow to praise you in all that I go through, because praise is what I do. And I owe it all to you. I owe you when I'm going through the good. I owe you when I'm going through the bad, because I trust in you, Lord. I give myself away, Father God, and ask you to use me today. Lord, I ask you to increase as I decrease. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your sight. For, Father God, you are my strength and my redeemer. I can do nothing without you. I can say nothing without you. Father God, I ask for you to give me the voice to speak, the mind to understand the words that I read. And, Lord God, I ask that you allow your Holy Spirit to come into each home of those that listen live or listen later. Lord God, let your spirit reign in this place. For me and my house, we will serve you, Lord. We will trust you, Lord. We will stand on your word, Lord. In the name of Christ Jesus, I lift up this word this morning, asking you, Lord God, to speak it, to teach it, and to use me for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting in you. And in all that you say and do, the Lord God, I praise you this morning. I give you worship and honor and glory this morning. But there is no God like you, Lord God. There is nothing like you. There is no one, no entity on this world or in any other like you. For you created every world. You created us all. And I thank you, God. I praise you, God. I give you honor and glory, for you are my Father, and I am your humble servant, and I am your daughter. And I know that I am loved by you, because that's just who you are. Thank you, Father, for this day that you have made. Again, we rejoice and are glad in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. You know, praise is what I do. Hallelujah. When I want to be close to you, I lift my hands in praise. I praise God this morning. I give God honor and glory this morning. For there is none like our Father God. You know, normally our theme is moving forward. This morning, God put on my heart to play. Praise is what I do. Praise is what I do. Hallelujah. I praise God this morning for waking me up. I praise God this morning for giving me a voice. I praise God this morning because there's none like our Daddy God. You know, we are still in the book of Job. And this morning we'll be reading Job chapter 20, chapters 23, 24, and 25, verse 6. And again, Job is going through. But he does not phone God. And he has friends that are vilifying, telling him he's this and that. This side of calling him a junkyard dog, and that he must have done something wrong to be going through what he's going through. You know, they adamant about it. They are like, you must have done this, and you must have done that, and you did this, and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, with friends like that, you don't need any enemies. Friends like that, you don't need any enemies at all, because they are your friend and your frenemies. I think that's the word they use these days. They your frenemy. They your buds when you up. And then they come to, you think, lift you up, but instead they tear you down. And Job is dealing with the tear down right now. And when we get over into Psalms, which is where our word comes from this morning, it touches my heart, my mind, and my spirit. This word just touched me this morning. And then our Romans word touched me as well. You know, and that is just loving each other. Love your neighbor. Love those that you don't know. Just give God glory and let those that see you see his wonder in you. Again, not about you and me, but about God. So let's get in our word this morning. And as I said, it is a great, great, great word today. And all I can say is God is good and greatly to be praised, giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. And I'm going to praise him. Yes, we all go through. Yes, we all have issues and situations. But when we trust God, I tell you one thing. He's going to work it out. What's the song said? Jesus will work it out. And we have to believe that. And I'm sorry, y'all. It's just these things are in my heart this morning of just giving God praise. I get filled up when I think about the goodness of Jesus and what he's done for me. As long as my soul cries out. My soul cries out. Just want to thank him today. You know, it's my net saying a long time ago, just want to praise you forever and ever. Hallelujah. So let's see what Job has to say this morning as he has to defend himself in the court of public opinion called friends. Hallelujah. So let's get into our word. Hopefully everybody has gotten to Job chapter 23, and we're going to get started. And it says this in the word, then Job answered and said, even today my complaint is bitter. My hand is listless because of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his feet. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in his great power? No, but he would take note of me. There the upright could reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. Look, I go forward, but he is not there, and backwards, but I cannot perceive him. When he works on the left hand, I cannot behold him. When he turns to the right hand, I cannot see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is unique, and who can make him change? And whatever his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is appointed for me, and many such things are from him. Therefore, I am terrified at his presence. When I consider this, I am afraid of him. For God made my heart weak, and the Almighty terrifies me, because I was not cut off from the presence of darkness, and he did not hide deep darkness from my face. Since time, chapter 24 of Job, since times are not hidden from the Almighty, why do those who know him see not his days? Some remove landmarks. They seize violently and feed on them. They drive away the donkey of the fatherless. They take the widow's ox as a pledge. They push the needy off the road, how the poor of the land are forced to hide. Indeed, like wild donkeys in the desert, they go out to their work searching for food. The wilderness yields food for them and for their children. They gather their fodder in the field and glean in the vineyard of the wicked. They spend the night naked without clothing and have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains and huddle around the rock for want of shelter. Some snatch the fatherless from the breast and take a pledge from the poor. They cause the poor to go naked without clothing, and they take away the sheaves from the hungry. They press out oil within their walls and tread winepress, yet suffer thirst. The dying groan in the city, and the souls of the wounded cry out. Yet God does not charge them with wrong. These are those who rebel against the light. They do not know it, its ways, nor abide in its path. The murderer rises with the light. He kills the poor and needy. And in the night, he is like a thief. The eye of the adulterer waits for the twilight, saying, no eye will see me. And he disguises his face. In the dark, they break into houses, which they mark for themselves in the daytime. They do not know the light, for the morning is the same to them as the shadow of death. If someone recognizes them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. They should be swept on the face of the waters. Their portion should be cursed in the earth, so that no one would turn into the way of their vineyards. As drought and heat consume those snow waters, so the grave consumes those who have sinned. The womb should forget him. The worm should feast sweetly on him. He should be remembered no more, and wickedness should be broken like a tree. For he preys on the barren, who do not bear, does no good for the widow. For God draws the mighty away with his power. He rises up, but no man is sure of life. He gives them security, and they rely on it. Yet his eyes are on their ways. They are exalted for a little while. Then they are gone. They are brought low. They are taken out of the way like all others. They dry out like the heads of grain. Now, if it is not so, who will prove me a liar and make my speech worth nothing? This is chapter 25 of Job, verses 1 through 6. Then Beldad the Shunammite answered and said, dominion and fear belong to him. He makes peace in his high places. Any number to his armies? Upon whom does his light not rise? Now then, can man be righteous before God? Or how can he be pure who is born of woman? If even the moon does not shine, and the stars are not pure in his sight, how much less man, who is a maggot, and a son of man, who is a worm. Wow. And that is Job's friend. Whew. And let's go back to some life lessons from Dr. Stanley this morning. And for those that are just joining us, we are coming out of the Dr. Charles Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I am coming out of New King James, and it is for a purpose and a reason. When God put this assignment in my heart, gave me New King James to read because it's easier to understand for those that are new to the Word. So I read New King James for that purpose and for that reason. So the word gets into your mind, into your spirit, and you're not worrying about them, thous, those, these, and thems and thuts and all of those things. It makes it plain. It takes King James and makes it plain. So that's why I read New King James. But I don't want to let anybody get it twisted. I am a King James reader as well. I love King James, but I prefer to read New King James. For those that I have to, I read to. So I thank you all for joining me this morning. So we're going to get into some words from Dr. Stanley. And all I can say is may God bless him, watch over him, keep him strong. But Dr. Stanley has touched my life as a pastor listening to him. You know, I wish I could have visited his church while he was still ministering and the senior pastor. But that was not in my sure or my past. That was not what God gave me. But I say this, I have listened to him for years, and I just admire him so much. And I also have to give this disclaimer. I am not being paid by In Touch Ministries or Dr. Charles Stanley to hawk this Bible. I am just saying personally that it is one of the best Bible study Bibles I've ever had. And I've read quite a few. We've gone on this blog. We have read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in a chronological order, which has you going all over the place. But we did it because that was what we were, my assignment was to read the word in chronological order. We have gone through the Hebrew Bible. We have gone through Greek. We have gone through a lot of different words over the years. But this, I think, is the best. We've done this for the last 2 years. Last year, we started, I think, in about April in this word because we were finishing up another Bible. And this word has been magnificent is all I can say. It has been awesome. So thank you, Dr. Stanley. And so when we go to Job chapter 23, life lessons from Dr. Stanley, and the scripture is, I have treasured the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. If we turn away from the Lord when hard times hit, where will we find hope or peace or truth? God's word is an immovable anchor in times of storm and living bread for dying men and women. Hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Job 23:13. Whatever his soul desires, that he does. God is sovereign, and he does according to his will. In the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, no one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? And we're going to go over real quick to Daniel chapter 4. And the book of Daniel is another awesome word from a prophet and a man of God. And we will get to Daniel. But we're going to go to Daniel right now. And we're going to go to chapter 4. And we'll read it within context. Chapter 4, verse 35. Here we go. And this is Nebuchadnezzar praises God. We got to praise God. Even a man that didn't know God was praising God. So let's read verse 34 and 37. And it says this, and at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? Verse 36, at the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles restored to me. I was restored to my kingdom and excellent majesty was I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt the honor of the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. And let me explain this. going back a little bit, Nebuchadnezzar was humiliated. God had him. He lost a year. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. But this is what it says. That he had, you know, wound up. It says the very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like ox. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. He was mad. He went crazy. Nebuchadnezzar went cray-cray. He went total cray. God needed to get his attention, just as he needs to get our attention. God wants us to worship him in the beauty of holiness, trusting in God, believing in God, through the good, through the bad, through the ugly. God wants us to believe in him, to trust in him, to worship him, to praise him, even when you're going through your tough times. Praise God in the midst. As the song says, in the middle of it, we got to continuously praise God. And so let's get back into our word. And this is from Dr. Stanley again, Job's friends. We're getting ready to talk about Beldad in just a moment. Beldad. Or Bildad. And this is what it says. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar heard of Job's plight and felt deeply burdened to comfort their old friend. But what they saw staggered them. They gasped, cried out, and tore their clothes, a demonstration of deep grief. Finally, they sat with Job and remained silent. They stayed that way for 7 days. Once they opened their mouths, however, Job's visitors didn't offer much help. They judged his pitiful situation to be the consequences of sin and kept insisting that adversity comes only to the wicked, not to the righteous. Therefore, Job had to be suffering God's punishment for some secret wrongdoing. Job rejected their diagnosis. He said, he knows the way that I take when he has tested me. I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth. Job chapter 23, verses 10 through 12. In the end, the Lord had the final word, and he rebuked Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Job 42:7-9. When God restored Job twofold, he proved himself and his promises ever faithful, and he showed that blessings for the obedience do not guarantee a life free of adversity. I tell you, that is the truth. We all have adversity. Don't let anybody tell you that everything is just hunky-dory in their life, because it's not the truth. We all go through. And we go through because that is just God's will. And honestly, when you go through, it makes you appreciate your blessings more. It makes you appreciate the goodness of the Lord. It makes you appreciate the breath in your body. It makes you appreciate when God turns it around and you get back into doing and being who you may have been before. But you'll be better. You'll be wiser. And you'll be also thankful. Never forget to thank God. Never forget to give God everything that is due God. And our word this morning is coming out of Psalms chapter 96, verse 7 through 10. And verse 9 is the title of our lesson today. It's what it comes from. But let's go into Psalms 96. So hopefully everybody out in the church is saying amen. And it says, give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. And I love Dr. Stanley's word on Psalms 96 and 9. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We are to worship the Lord for his beautiful holiness, his purity, his righteousness, his spotlessness. As we worship him beautifully through pure, blameless, and upright lives. Hallelujah. I thank God this morning. Even when I'm going through, praise is what I do. I just can't say it enough, Lord, because I owe everything I have to you. Hallelujah. Praise is what I do. Thank you, Jesus. Proverbs 23 and 9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. And we all know that is true. That is true. That's a word. We all have. If you have children, you know that that is a true statement. My husband, my late husband, was an instructor. And he was instructing or talking about reconstruction and different things dealing with people who died during car crashes. And somebody asked the question, well, when are your brain dead? And he said, oh, when you turn about 14. And, you know, we all know that if you have a teenager, they seem to lose their minds for just a little while. Around that 14, 15 time, I think it's just high school, must be something they go into and they lose it. But then they come back to themselves about 16. So the brain dead is only for a couple years. 14, 15, sometimes 13. You just have to get their attention and let them know who is in charge. And we all know that we are not in charge of anything. It is all God. But, you know, I love the way he said it. And everybody was like, yeah, that's the truth. You know, we all know because we all went a little brain dead around that same age. But we thank God that he gave us our right minds back. We thank God that he gave us him. Because it was around that age, 13, that I first got saved. You know, I got kind of saved at 9, joined the church on my own, apart from being christened as a baby. But I baptized as a baby. I was talking to my mother one day, and I said, I remember going into the river. And she said, yeah, we all were baptized. You were about 2 years old. And I remember being in this little white robe, standing on the banks of the river. And I remember going into the water. And I don't know, maybe that's what made me scared of water. I don't know. But going into the water and being baptized with my family. You know, the whole family went in the water and the whole family was baptized. And I remember that. And my mom said that it was not just a dream, that it was what actually happened, that I was dedicated to God at 2 years old. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that. But I remembered. I remember that little white robe. You know, and then at 9, I joined the church. You know, I remember joining with one of my friends and her grandmother and running around the church and being picked up and cuddled in these big old arms of this wonderful lady. And she kissed me all over my face and kissed her granddaughter all over her face and just hugged us and cried because we joined church 9 years old. And then 13, I got involved with the ministry, youth ministry. And I remember the night I got saved, I came home. And even back then, preaching. Got to preaching to my parents about salvation and what they needed to be doing, that I didn't want my mom and dad to go to hell. I remember that 13 years old. My mother probably died, lost my mind. That's probably going to take me out of that ministry because this baby done lost it. And then I got involved with a Bible study for teenagers through the ministry I was in. And I remember doing what I'm doing now, reading the Word of God. But we had to take tests. You thought we were in college. We had to take tests. And those tests were graded. you know, in another city, and it was great at the headquarters and all of this stuff. It was a big deal. But I remember more than anything about salvation and that we need to teach the fact that if we are not saved, we will go to the pits of hell, period. You know, take all the everything out. If you are not saved on the day of judgment, you will go to the pits of hell. Gloss it over. No, if you are not saved on judgment day, you will go to the pits of hell, period. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not given your life over to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you will go to the pits of hell. And that's why we preach and teach in context. If you read the Word of God in context and you hear it in context, you understand that salvation is the key to making it through the narrow gate and believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And we must never forget that. And as we go to our word again, in Romans chapter 15, it says, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now, may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. For this reason, I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And what is our word? Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. And Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesus, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. Ooh, hallelujah. And again, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Verse 13 of Romans chapter 15. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and around about to Iconium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named least I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand. The reason I also have been much hindered from coming to you, much hindered from coming to you, but now no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you. Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journeys and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. Wow. He's so hospitable, and he's got such a great heart. But Paul had an assignment, and he was completing his assignment. We each have an assignment from God, and we need to complete the assignment we are given. But the one thing through everything we do, we must worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And as Paul said, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, laud him, all you people. We got to worship God. We got to give him our worship, and we got to give him our praise. Hallelujah. And some life lessons, and then we're wrapping it up this morning. The life lesson, Romans 15:2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. As we are serious about our Christian faith, we must take into consideration how our actions affect others. We cannot grow in faith in isolation from others and in our interactions with others. We should have edification in mind. We got to, in other words, family, we got to get out of the four walls. We got to get out of the four walls. We've got to take God's word wherever we can. This is my assignment, to take God out of the four walls, to put him in the airways, that whoever is looking for a word from God, they will find it. So I go through like everybody else. But I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship him in the beauty of holiness. For he is good and greatly to be praised. And this is our word as we wrap it up this morning. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. The normal Christian life is to be characterized by hope, joy, and peace. As we grow in grace, God wants us to experience more and more of each of them. And if they're lacking, something has gone wrong. And I'm going to read that one more time. The normal Christian life is to be characterized by hope, joy, and peace. As we grow in grace, God wants us to experience more and more of each of them. They're lacking. If you're lacking hope, if you're lacking joy, if you're lacking peace, something has gone wrong. So thank you all for listening in this morning. And again, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And again, let us worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. For God is so good to us. He is great and greatly to be praised. This morning for a wonderful word. I thank you for listening in. And I say let's do this again on tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. And I always say, God willing, because none of us are promised tomorrow. So I thank God for this day that he has made. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to be glad in it. And I'm going to take him wherever I go with a pep in my step and a... that all things are working for my good, because of what? I'm trusting in him. I'm believing in him. And I'm knowing that he can make a way out of no way. And before we get out of here, as always, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, from Carolyn's Gift. And that word is this. When you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, turn to the light of the world. God can make a way out of no way. Can the church say amen? Our sister knows she on it this morning. Hallelujah. Have a marvelous Monday. But we know that our Father God is marvelous. And we know that he is the light of this wicked world. And again, I ask you today, as you pray today, keep the people of Afghanistan and Haiti in your prayers. Keep our world that is going into turmoil in your prayers. Keep the folks that are in the eye of the storms in your prayers. For we know that everything is happening for a reason. God is trying to get our attention. He's got mine. I hope he's got yours. That God wants us to be better today than we were yesterday. He wants us to love our neighbor. He wants us to love ourselves. And he wants us to praise him, to worship him in the beauty of holiness that is God. So I thank you all this morning for joining me. Getting a little hoarse this morning. Weather changes and grass being cut. But I know that God is able and that I'm okay. Why? Because I trust in the Lord. And I thank him for helping me to get the word out this morning. And if you are joining us late, you can listen to this blog later on. It will load in very short time. But I say to you again, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And we have a caller this morning. Caller 4727, your line is open. Good morning, Mother. How are you today? Mother Rita, you are on.
Oh, thank God, Mr. Bridget. It's just a joy and a pleasure to hear you when I hear you. And ask God to strengthen you, multiply you in every good way, give you what you stand in the need of every day. He said, like Job, and a lot of people say it's job, but it's a job to be Job. So it'll give you more than you had before. And just bless my, I thank you for your prayers that goes up. Because when prayers goes up, blessing come down. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Mother Rita. And as we ask, could you pray us out this morning? Again, we say every day, and I pray this every day over everyone, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed day. And Mother Rita, would you pray us out this morning as we move forward through our day and move forward in our life?
We thank God for just being God all by himself. He's a big G and not the little G. He's sitting high, looking low, seeing everything that you think, everything that you do. So you got to be careful that you got to get to know him in the pardon of your sin before the final day of judgment. So we just ask that you keep on praying, because if you pray, he'll do the rest. So we just got to keep praying and pray some more. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much, my beautiful lady of God. Thank you for joining us every morning to start the show until I see that you own. I thank God for you, and I ask God to watch over you, to bless you, to keep you in his loving arms and in his beautiful, wonderful wings. I pray over you, your family, and your seed, for you are a woman of God, and I'm grateful and thankful to be adopted into your family. So I have a wonderful, blessed day, who I call Auntie, but we call her Mother on this show. So thank you so much, Auntie. I appreciate you calling in And I appreciate you listening in, and I appreciate your prayers. And so today we're going to be a little different. We started with this song instead of our normal song, but we're going to end with this song because this song just touched my heart and God put it in my spirit this morning. So let us just praise God today because praise is what I do.
Praise is what I do. When I want to be close to you, I lift my hands in praise. Somebody lift those hands. Praise is who I am. I will praise him while I can. I'll bless him at all times. I vow to praise you through the good. Testimony in all that I go through. Somebody said, why? I said, because praise is what I do.
Yeah.
head right now. Somebody lift your voice in this place. Somebody lift up your voice in this place.
Family is to wrap. Praise is what I do. Hallelujah. I thank God this morning for his word. I thank God for the praise. Hallelujah. 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 Family, it's a wrap. Why? Because it's time for us to go to work. And who do we work for? We work for God. His mother said, when we talk about Job or job, Job had a job. And his job, even through all he went through, was to praise God. He said, I'm going to plead my case, but I'm never going to stop praising God. So we're going to praise God in the midst of what we go through, because praise is what we do. Because we owe all of this to God. We owe our life to him. Whatever it may be you're going through, give it to God. And his mother said, let's pray. We're going to push today. Pray until something happens. But praise in the midst. Thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for all that you do, family. Keep working for God. It's a wrap. I got to go to work. Love you all. Love you, Mama.
And
have a birthday.
I got one more word.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am,
I'm
hearing you.
Oh.
Yes, can you hear me?
Him, yeah. If we praise him, he'll raise him. If we shout, he'll bring us out. That's all I have to say.
Ah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Whew, I'm going to have to go back and listen to this so I can write that down. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for this wonderful woman of God who has blessed me. And I pray, Father God, that you continue to watch over and bless her through the good and mighty woman of God who keeps us all firmly on the foundation of you on the rock. Hallelujah. Thank you, Mother. I love you. God bless you. It's a wrap, family.
Love you too.